Welcome back to another deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something that, well, it shapes our daily lives, often without us even realizing it. Promotion. And it's more than just, you know, selling stuff. It's this sophisticated art of communication in business. Really fundamental.
It absolutely is. And for you listening in, this deep dive is kind of designed to pull back the curtain on how businesses actually talk to you.
Right.
We're going to explore the strategies they use, you know, to get your attention, build up that desire for what they're offering, and hopefully for them, cultivate loyalty.
So by the end, you won't just see an ad, you'll see the why behind it.
Exactly. You'll see the world of advertising and marketing with hopefully some new eyes. It makes it all a bit more interesting, I think.
Definitely. That's our mission today, then. We're using some fantastic sources you shared to uncover this whole landscape of channels and tactics.
Yeah, there's quite a range.
From like those massive global ad campaigns you see everywhere, down to maybe just a quiet recommendation from a friend.
Big difference there.
Our goal is really to give you that strategic lens so you can understand the intent behind every message. Basically, become a sharper observer of this whole commercial world.
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Promotion. It's easy to just think of someone shouting about a product, right?
Yeah, the stereotypical loud salesperson.
But what are the real goals here?
Right.
Why do companies put so much effort and, frankly, money into communicating?
Well, it's definitely more complex than just shouting louder, isn't it? The core objectives are quite multifaceted.
Okay.
Yes, it starts with awareness. You know, people have to know something exists. But then, crucially, it moves into persuading potential customers.
Persuading them about.
Persuading them of the product's unique value, especially when you line it up against competitors. And then there's reminding. We can't forget that.
Oh, right. Keeping it top of mind.
Exactly. Reminding existing customers, reinforcing their choice, keeping them engaged. So ultimately, promotion isn't just about the immediate sale. It's about shaping how you, the consumer, perceive the brand.
Influencing short-term sales and that longer-term loyalty.
Precisely. Both are critical.
I find it really interesting how those objectives actually play out. Our sources break it down into three main things. First, informing. This seems pretty straightforward. It's about the details, features, price, where to find it. You mentioned Apple earlier. Their product launches are like textbook examples of informing, right?
Absolutely. They're masterclasses. Every new iPhone, every iOS update, it's meticulously explained. They almost teach you how to use it before you've even bought it. It's all about clarity, utility.
Okay, clarity. Then number two is persuading. This is where it gets a bit more emotional, maybe.
Often, yes. This is where companies try to convince you their product is superior or just the right one for you. Coca-Cola is a classic example.
How so?
Well, they don't just list ingredients on their ads, do they? Their advertising consistently links the brand with feelings, happiness, togetherness, good times.
So you're not just buying the drink.
You're buying into an emotion, a cultural vibe. That's pure persuasion. It's powerful stuff.
It really is.
Okay.
Okay, and the third one, reminding. You said this is vital for established brands.
Definitely. Especially in crowded markets. Think about McDonald's and their I'm loving it campaign.
Yeah, you can't escape that jingle.
Exactly. It doesn't necessarily tell you anything new, but it just constantly reinforces their global presence. It reminds you they're there, they're relevant. It's about maintaining that mental real estate.
Got it. Inform, persuade, remind. But these aren't used in isolation, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. What's really insightful is how these objectives shift and adapt based on where a product is in its life. This is where things like the product life cycle, the PLC, come in.
Right. Introduction, growth, maturity, decline.
Exactly that cycle. So a brand new, innovative product needs heavy informative advertising just to let people know what it is and what it does.
Makes sense.
But as it grows and matures and everyone knows about it, the focus might shift more towards persuading you to choose their version over a competitor's.
And then reminding loyal customers.
And then reminding, yeah. Keeping them sticky. And this strategy is also tied into things like the BCG matrix, you know, that portfolio tool.
Stars, cash cows.
That helps businesses figure out where to put their promotional budget based on market share and growth.
Yep.
It's about being smart and strategic with communication at every single stage.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So let's zoom out a bit. Let's talk about the really big stuff, the promotion that aims for like a huge audience, the roar. Not the whisper.
Right.
That's above line promotion, or ATL, isn't it? Kind of painting with those really broad brushes.
That's a perfect way to put it. ATL basically involves mass media advertising. Think TV, radio, newspapers, billboards, platforms that the businesses themselves don't directly control.
Independent platforms.
Yes. And the main goal here is building that widespread brand image, general awareness on a really grand scale.
Even now, with everything going digital, ATL still feels important. Why is that?
Well, part of it is the sheer reach, but it's also about perceived status and trust, I think. Seeing a big ad during, say, the Olympics or the World Cup.
It doesn't just make you aware. It signals that the brand is substantial, financially strong, committed. Mm. It has a kind of weight that maybe some more fleeting digital ads don't always carry.
Okay, so it confers legitimacy in a way.
In a way, yes. It suggests permanence and seriousness.
So let's look at some examples. Television advertising, still huge, right?
Still massive. TV combines sound, vision, movement. It's incredibly powerful for telling emotional stories.
Think about Nike's Just Do It campaigns over the years.
Yeah, they're iconic. Not just about shoes.
Exactly. They sell aspiration, achievement. The advantage is that huge reach and emotional impact. The downside.
The cost.
Astronomical costs, especially for primetime slots or major global events.
Yeah.
But brands pay it because it's still one of the fastest ways to embed an idea in millions of minds at once.
Okay. What about radio advertising? Seems a bit more niche.
It can be. It's often good for specific demographics, like commuters listening during drive time. You hear a lot of local ads for restaurants or services.
Deeper than TV, I assume.
Generally, yes. And good for targeting local markets.
Yeah.
But the disadvantage is, well, it's only sound. Less engaging, perhaps.
Right. No visuals.
Yeah.
Then there's cinema advertising.
Yeah.
Before the movie starts.
Yep. You've got a captive audience, often in a good mood, ready to be entertained. It's quite immersive. You often see ads for things like cars, targeting that middle or upper income demographic that might be at the cinema.
And newspapers. Still relevant.
Still relevant, especially for local markets or for more informational ads like classifieds or retail sales. It's cheaper than TV, reaches a broad audience, though readership is, you know, declining overall.
Yeah, that's true. Magazines, though, feel different, more targeted.
Yeah, very much so. Magazines are great for niche markets. Think luxury fashion brands like Gucci appearing in Vogue, high quality visuals, reaching a specific group that's already interested in that lifestyle.
Right. Context matters.
Absolutely. The magazine's own brand rubs off on the advertiser.
And finally, outdoor advertising.
Yeah.
Billboards, posters.
Yep. Those things you see everywhere in high traffic spots, like that famous Coca-Cola billboard in Times Square. It's practically a landmark.
What's the advantage there? Just constant visibility.
Pretty much. Constant exposure builds recognition through sheer repetition. Can't convey complex information, obviously, but you can really cement a brand's identity and presence.
Okay, so that's ATL, big, broad, aiming for mass awareness and image. But what if a brand needs to be more precise? More personal.
Right. How do you move from that general awareness to actual action?
Exactly. That sounds like where below the line or BTL promotion comes in, a shift to more direct, targeted stuff.
Precisely. BTL involves these targeted, non-mass media strategies. The key thing here is that businesses have much more control. They can pick who they reach and they can personalize the message much more.
And it's usually cheaper than ATL.
Often, yes, on a per-contact basis, though campaigns can still be complex. And what's really interesting about BTL now is how it fuels data collection.
How so?
Well, every interaction, clicking an email link, using a loyalty card, responding to direct mail, it generates data. This feeds back, allowing businesses to build really detailed profiles of individual customers.
So it's not just about sending messages out, it's about learning from the responses.
Exactly. It becomes this continuous loop, informing future product development, making the next campaign even more personalized. It's very data-driven.
Okay, let's dive into some specific BTL methods. Direct marketing seems like a big one.
It is. This is communication aimed straight at individuals. Think email, SMS, maybe even personalized physical mail, believe it or not.
Amazon's recommendations are a classic example, right? They know what you've browsed.
They're masters at it. It feels like they read your mind sometimes.
Huh.
The big advantage is that pinpoint targeting, and you can measure the response directly.
But the downside?
Well, if it's not relevant or done well, it just feels like spam. People tune it out or get annoyed.
Right. Then there's personal selling, face-to-face stuff.
Yeah. Really important for high-value items or complex products. Think about buying a car. The salesperson explains the features, answers your specific questions, builds a rapport.
More expensive per customer, though.
Definitely. Very time-consuming. But it often leads to high conversion rates because of that human interaction and trust building. You can tailor the pitch in real time.
Okay. What about sales promotions, like discounts and deals?
Exactly. Those short-term incentives to give sales a quick boost? Our sources mention things like BUGO Go Feff, buy one, get one free.
Always popular.
Free samples, coupons, loyalty programs like Starbucks Rewards where you earn points. They're great for getting people to try a product or make an impulse purchase.
But you can't overdo it.
That's the risk. Mm. If a brand is always on sale, it can damage the perceived value and image over time. It needs careful strategic use.
Makes sense. Then there's publicity and public relations, PR. Are they the same thing?
Often confused, but slightly different. Publicity is more about getting media coverage without directly paying for it.
Like earned media?
Exactly. A celebrity spotted wearing a designer's dress may be a positive news story about a company innovation. It provides organic exposure.
And PR.
PR is more strategic, more planned. It's about managing the company's overall image and reputation long term. Think of Apple's slick product launch events or a company sponsoring a local charity. It's proactive image building.
What's the big win with these?
Credibility. A positive mention in the news or by an influencer often carries more weight than a paid ad. People tend to trust it more.
But less control.
That's the trade-off, yeah. You can send out a press release, but you can't fully control how the media spins the story or if they cover it at all.
Okay, other BTL methods, I see trade shows and exhibitions.
Right, like auto shows or tech expos. Great places to showcase products directly to industry people or keen consumers, network, get immediate feedback.
Sponsorship too, like Red Bull and Extreme Sports.
Classic example. Brands provide funds or resources in exchange for association and exposure. It builds strong brand connections if the fit is right.
And word of mouth, WM. Can you even control that?
Not directly, but you can encourage it. WOM is basically customers recommending products to others. Think positive online reviews on TripAdvisor or Amazon.
Hugely influential.
Immensely. It's highly trusted because it comes from peers, and it's essentially free marketing. The flip side is negative WOM can be incredibly damaging and spreads fast.
True. And finally, even packaging can be promotion.
Absolutely. Think of Tiffany's iconic blue box or the distinctive shape of a Coca-Cola bottle. Unique, recognizable packaging acts as a constant visual reminder and differentiator on the shelf. It's part of the brand experience.
Wow, okay. So BTL is really diverse.
It really is. Lots of tools in that toolbox.
So we've got ATL, the big broadcast, and BTL, the targeted approach. It feels like the smartest companies wouldn't just choose one, would they?
Exactly right. In most cases, it's not an either situation. To get the maximum impact, businesses really need to integrate them.
And that's where Through the Lime or TTL promotion comes in.
That's it, precisely. TTL is about combining both ATL and BTL strategies into one unified, cohesive marketing campaign. It's like conducting an orchestra.
Okay.
You have the loud brass and strings, that's your ATL maybe, but you also have the subtle woodwinds and percussion, your BTL. They all work together to create a single powerful piece of music, or in this case, a consistent brand message across different channels.
Can you give an example of how that might work?
Sure. Imagine a company launches a big, splashy TV ad campaign, that's the ATL, building broad awareness.
Right.
But then they follow it up with targeted ads on social media based on who might have seen the TV ad, or they send out emails with special offers related to the campaign, or they have in-store displays that echo the ad's theme. Those are the BTL elements.
Ah, I see. So it creates a seamless experience for the customer, seeing the message reinforced in different ways.
That's the goal. A multi-channel experience where everything connects and reinforces the core message, driving the customer along the path from awareness to purchase.
So, what makes a company decide to go for a TTL approach? What factors influence that decision? Seems complex.
It involves balancing several key things. Cost, obviously, is always a major factor. What's the budget? How do we allocate it effectively between mass media and targeted efforts?
Makes sense.
Then there's the product nature. Promoting a luxury car requires a very different mix than, say, promoting a new type of breakfast cereal.
Right. High-end versus mass market.
Exactly. The product lifecycle stage is crucial too, as we discussed. A product launch needs a different TTL mix than a mature product fighting off competitors.
You adapt the blend over time.
You have to. And finally, legislation can play a big role. There might be restrictions on how you can advertise certain products, like tobacco or alcohol, which forces companies to rely more heavily on certain channels within their TTL mix.
Coca-Cola seems like a great example of TTL, doesn't it?
Perfect example. They run those huge global TV ads. Everyone knows that's pure ATL, building that universal brand feeling. But at the same time, they're running local contests, sponsoring community football teams, running incredibly active and engaging social media campaigns tailored to specific regions or interests.
So big brand message plus local personal connection.
Exactly that blend. It's global reach combined with local relevance, all working together under that single brand umbrella. It's very effective.
Okay, this is all fascinating. But we absolutely cannot talk about modern promotion without digging into social media marketing, SMM.
Oh, absolutely not. It's completely changed the landscape.
How has it reshaped things? It feels like it's moved way beyond just putting ads online. It feels more like a conversation now.
That's a key difference. Yeah. SMM uses all these platforms, Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, not just to push messages out, but to actively build brand awareness, foster real customer engagement, and yeah, directly drive sales too.
But the engagement part feels key.
It is. The revolutionary aspect is that shift you mentioned from a one-way broadcast to a potential two-way dialogue. It's about interaction, building communities, sharing dynamic content.
Our sources point out some specific things that make SMM so powerful, like viral sharing.
Right. Think about something like the Ice Bucket Challenge a few years ago. That spread globally almost entirely through social media sharing, amplifying its message way beyond any paid budget.
Incredible reach potential. And influencer marketing seems huge now, too.
Definitely. Brands like Gymshark partnering with fitness influencers is a prime example. They tap into the influencer's credibility and reach a very specific, engaged audience that trusts that person's recommendations.
It's like word of mouth on steroids.
Kind of, yeah. Mm. And another huge advantage is how measurable it all is.
Ah, the data again.
Exactly. Businesses get real-time data on who's clicking, who's engaging, what content resonates, conversion rates. It allows for constant tweaking and optimization in a way that's much harder with traditional ATL.
And that two-way communication you mentioned.
Yeah, through things like interactive polls, Q&A sessions with experts, competitions, using specific hashtags to group conversations, and importantly, brands actually responding to comments and messages. It makes the brand feel more human and accessible.
So the benefits seem pretty clear then.
They are compelling. SMM is often way more cost-effective than traditional ATL, especially for reaching niche audiences. The targeting capabilities are amazing.
Like Facebook Ads Manager?
Exactly. You can segment audiences based on demographics, interests, online behavior, location.
Yeah.
It's incredibly precise. So your message gets to the people most likely to be interested.
And it builds relationships.
That's the goal. It helps build long-term brand communities. It moves beyond just selling things to fostering genuine connections and turning customers into advocates. This whole idea of social networking is key. It's not just promotion. It's active relationship building through blogs, forums, online groups. It's about being part of the customer's digital life.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground, from ATL's broad reach to BTL's precision, TTL integration, and now the whole dynamic world of SMM. So putting it all together, what does this mean for us, the people on the receiving end of all this?
Well, it means we're constantly interacting with these strategies, whether we consciously notice it or not. Companies are using this diverse toolkit to inform us, persuade us, remind us. It's an intricate dance, as you said earlier.
A dance that's essential for businesses.
Absolutely essential for connecting with their target audience, achieving growth. And the key for brands today is really that thoughtful integration, using ATL, BTL, TTL, and especially leveraging SMM in a smart, coordinated way.
To build that whole journey.
Yeah.
Awareness, purchase, loyalty.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Crafting comprehensive strategies to cover all those bases. And honestly, with digital platforms becoming so central to our lives, sophisticated SMM isn't just an add-on anymore. It's increasingly vital for staying competitive and relevant.
It really feels like the pace of change is just accelerating.
It is, constantly evolving.
Well, thank you so much for walking us through all of that. This deep dive into promotion has been really illuminating.
My pleasure. It's a fascinating area.
It really is. And thank you, our listener, for joining us. As you go about your day now, maybe you'll look at the ads and messages around you a little differently. And here's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
As technology keeps racing forward, AI, virtual reality, who knows what else, and our own habits keep changing. What new ways do you think brands will come up with to connect with you next? How might these emerging trends reshape how companies inform, persuade, and remind us in the future? Something to ponder. We'll see you next time on Deep Dive.